Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's November 30, 2023, and it is Ask Us Anything. Happy you're all here. And the way this works is it's a Q&A kind of thing. We'll set up a super brief sacred container, and then we will entertain your questions. And I might answer, and if there's anyone on the call who has insights, they're welcome to share them as well. So that's how it works. I just noticed I need to light my Mesa candle. That'll take me just a few seconds, so bear with me, please. All right. That's done. And I'm going to just do a very quickie kind of Mesa setup. This won't take long. I invite you to just relax and feel this as I do it. Allies, please come. Thank you. Please create a safe, sacred container for this work. All right, we're good. Okay, the floor is open for questions. Just pop it out if you have one. And if you're willing to speak it live, that's best of all. And if you just must type it, that's okay as well. And this is being recorded and will be available to members in the archive afterward.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thank you. I have a question. When they refer to the four corners or the four directions, you would first of all come to my mind as east, west, north, east, and south, and all that.
Yeah.
Could it possibly include dimensions, timelines, realms, and realities?
Depends who's doing it.
What do you mean when you call the four directions?
Okay, the Mesa, I'm using a Mesa style based on what's called the Pachacuti Mesa tradition, which itself is based on some northern Peruvian curanderismo practices. So I'm sitting in the south facing the north. So I'm at the south end of my Mesa, so just a little cloth on the ground. So
okay.
In this tradition, the south is earth. The west is water. The north is air or mountains. The east is fire or the rising sun. And the center is the center. So that's the basis of this tradition. There are many other shamanic traditions that use many different directions in many different ways. There's no one right way to do it. But this is how I've done it for a long time based on some of the shamanic training I did years ago.
Okay, well, that's been interesting. You know, I was trying to look it up online and I wanted to kind of find out, other than the actual, the ones that you just listed, how would I find out what other shamanic traditions use?
Oh, just Google how are directions used in different shamanic traditions and just see what comes up. I bet you get
okay, let me try it from that direction then.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, I had a... when I have shamanic apprentices once in a while, sort of, you know, it's kind of informal, but I had one who just came, how do I set up my Mesa? Well, how should I do it? What are the techniques? What are the details? And I said, do it wherever you want. You know, I told him, like I just did you guys, how I do mine, but there is no one right way. My philosophy on anything metaphysical is if it works, it works. And if you're doing it some oddball way no one else does and it works, then it works. So that's a little extrapolation on that. Who's got the next question? So, Viorica, I see you raising your hand. Why don't you unmute yourself and talk? There you are.
Hi. Actually, it's not a question.
Oh.
It's a congratulation in your book. I was very surprised and I read it with such a big pleasure.
Oh.
I finished it, I think, in maybe 1.5 days. I was looking through, and it was amazing. Actually, I told you that I had surgery, so that I'm missing 2 years with you. I just connected with you now because of this amazing book.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad it was helpful to you.
And I am using things every day, maybe 10 times a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, if it's working for you, then I'm just super glad. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Thank you so much for the book.
Oh,
Amazing.
yay. I'm glad it's helping you. My hope is that it helps lots of people. So I'm glad that for at least one person it's working well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Who else is?
I just wanted to mention real quick to the people that are here, I just finished your audiobook. I started the written one a long time ago, and I just, for some reason, the way things were going, it worked better to do the audio. And I absolutely loved it. And particularly some of your custom invocations, particularly the one ending with gratitude. And you covered so many different possibilities, whether it was chakras or whatever you did in there, you just covered the whole gamut. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, Benjamin.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
I'm feeling really good. Thank you all for the book praise. Well, who's got a question? So I see some folks have come in. Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Oh, hello, Benjamin. Wait,
Hi.
wait. Hi. Must be chilly in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's below freezing, and I thought I'd put my little head on to keep my head warm.
Yeah. Is it snowing?
No, it's just starting to get cold these days.
Ooh. Anyway, I was really enjoying your working with the invocations. I listened to it, and my question is, I know sometimes there's layers to a situation. Well, oftentimes many layers to a situation we want to heal.
Right.
So, and expecting instant whatever, because in a way it is all in divine timing, to use the same invocation on a daily basis how can I say it? Unless the situation isn't resolved, then continue daily with the one invocation for that particular thing. Do you recommend that?
If it works. You always have to decide for yourself if you're using any technique, including mine,
Right.
using it repetitively and you're not making any progress, then you need something different.
Different wording.
I have a lady or a different approach. I have a lady I've worked with, I've lost track how many shamanic healing sessions, it's probably 20, 25 at least. And she's had this physical thing in her body and it just wasn't healing. And we would feel energy getting in there and stirring up and flushing away. And the allies were the best it could, but I started saying maybe it's, she wasn't seeing a medical doctor. I said, maybe you need to go see a medical doctor. And she did. And sure enough, they saw some really serious stuff going on in there. So, sometimes energy work is not enough. And
Got it. No, truly, truly, I get that. Also, I just wanted to let you know, with a session we had last week or whenever it was, the IFS, brilliant. I haven't written a review yet, but I wanted to tell you personally that it's gone, the big bad issue I had with
Wow. Are you
and
talking about the one-on-one work you and I did?
the one-on-one with regarding my mother,
Okay.
and I've had years of healing around it, but that sealed the deal.
I'm so
Your
glad.
words sealed the deal. So I highly recommend the IFS sessions to anyone who hasn't had one if you got some deep digging to do.
Yeah. And as most of y'all know, there is a course inside Awakening Plus called Self Guided IFS. And I've had more than one member email me saying, I just did your self guided course and had the most powerful healing of my life. So, the modality itself is so good.
Right.
You know, that even just having my recorded voice guide you for some people is enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't mind people paying to work with me one-on-one, but I'm always encouraging people, you know, if you can get the same healing done doing it solo in the course, then, you know, that's a lot less expensive than booking a session with me.
We all have that power within us. So
yeah.
Use it if we can.
And I also understand there are some people, you know, either because they need another human being there supporting them energetically, or the trauma is just so big that they can't do it solo. Then I get it. And that's why I still make myself available one-on-one. But I'm just the opposite of those people who just throw, well, you need to sign up for 10 sessions and commit $5,000 to me. And so like, I just don't do that. You know, I'll do a single session. It's okay. Let's just do one session. And then I leave it to you if you want to do any more.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm really, you know, my morality is so strong on let me empower you to do what you can for yourself and I'll fill in the gaps kind of attitude.
Yeah. I agree. I just being with you, I don't even know how long I've joined you, your community here, but yeah, I get that about you. Your integrity is really good.
No, thank you.
It has to be if you're going to be a healer, I think.
Well, there are some healers who don't have such high integrity, but
that's right.
It usually catches up with them at some point.
Like, do no harm, right? Do no harm.
That is ideal. But you check out your healers, because you know, one of these days I'm going to do a podcast episode on, I think I've got the title, something like my imperfectly perfect teachers or shamans or teachers or whatever. Because, you know, most of the ones I've worked with in depth, you know, there's always a dark side that turns out. And even sometimes after I've recognized it, I saw, okay, I'm moving toward a goal with this person, even seeing that they've got this dark side and they're not all fully of light, whether they know it or not. I still need to stick with this and get to the goal. I mean, the first shaman I worked with ayahuasca for years, he was compromised and I could tell he was getting darker over time. And yet I just knew this is the guy I can get awakening with. And sure enough, I finally went into Peru and did a month long double dieta. I was down there for a month in the jungle, did 10 ayahuasca ceremonies, and ceremony number 8, I woke up for real and it stuck. And that's what I was shooting for. And then I never worked with him again after that dieta.
There you go.
Because even though he wasn't totally pure, I was still able to get the awakening.
Yeah.
Another shamanic, I worked with a woman for years as her apprentice in shamanism. And, you know, there was some dicey stuff going on there too. But yet the benefit I was getting was worth, you know, logging through the challenge. So you don't need a perfect healer, but you definitely want someone who is, you can tell their intention is love and light.
Yes.
And they're not deliberately trying to mess with you, you know. And especially, and even intention is not enough. If you have to just feel them, and is the vast majority of their field really of that high vibration?
Yeah.
That's what I'd recommend if you're on the path of love.
Anyway, I wanted to say thank you in person.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, Pam.
Betcha.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Okay, who's next? Unmute yourself and go. Nobody?
Well, I have another question.
Go for
if
it.
If I may.
Sure.
You were mentioning the awakening that you had and that it finally stuck.
Uh-huh.
I remember when I asked you that question about significant experiences during your life, and for you mentioned a walk-in, and then you went on to talk to about something else. And I meant to get back and ask you, did you have a soul walk-in?
I think so. Lately, I've wondered if it really was, because here's the story. That was in that same month-long dieta I was in. And in one of these ayahuasca ceremonies, I remember I had fallen asleep and then I came back to consciousness and I remember thinking, what am I doing here? And it was like, I said, why am I in this body? Where am I? What's going on here? And it was like I'd come to consciousness in the body of Benjamin and had no idea who I was or why I was there. And it took me 2 or 3 hours to acclimatize to access Benjamin's memories and kind of get situated in him. By the time the ceremony was over, I could function as Benjamin. But I remember feeling like a total stranger in the body. And the way I interpreted that was that I was a walk-in at that point. And the belief I held for several years after that was, well, the driver before then was not progressing fast enough to fulfill the soul mission, so they chose a replacement driver for the body, and that became Benjamin.
Wow.
That's a possibility of what happened. I've had enough, you know, I've had a lot of awakenings since then, and I had one a few months back that had a brief similar disorientation, and I thought, well, that felt a little bit like that experience back in the jungle. I wonder, was that just such a radical awakening that I had at that moment that it felt like I was brand new in the body, or was I really a new consciousness? And I'm not actually 100% sure.
Wow.
So I've learned you don't have to have absolute certainty about every single thing to move forward. And whether this is still the original driver or whether who's talking here is the walk-in, you know, I don't think it really matters as long as the work's getting done.
Well, this was your experience, but if I may share what, excuse me, my reaction was listening. Uh-huh. It sounds like, you know how you can move to a parallel reality in a nanosecond?
Mm-hmm.
You, as your vibrations raise, you move to a parallel reality where things are more at your higher vibration. Because I walked out to the kitchen one day and I was like gone for, I don't know, a nanosecond. Mm-hmm. And I came back and I looked around and went, where am I? And that sounds to me like a dimension shift or a parallel reality shift, because your vibrations are going up as you're doing this work.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you switched over to on an earth that is at a higher vibration.
That's possible. You know, there's so much we humans don't even begin to grok. So
of course,
it's a possibility. Yeah. You know, sometimes you'll have a really powerful experience and you really won't understand it, but you had the experience and, you know, you can then throw interpretations on it, but who really knows?
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I asked that is that, for many, many years, I believed that one soul that's left on the other side has left their earth walk, and one soul that's here, if the person wants to come back as a healthy adult and they can get soul agreement from the person on earth because they want to go back, leave for some reason, that a soul can walk into a body that's here, let's say like a 25-year-old, and the 25-year-old body goes back to their side of the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked Bashar that within the last year, and he said no. And generally, I've kind of been aligned with what he said. Do you think that souls can agree to switch places?
I don't know. It seems possible to me, but I don't have any knowledge or experience. I can only speak, you know, just theoretically. But, you know, I've experienced so many things in my lifetime that there's very little I would categorically rule out.
Okay. Well, I have talked to my husband maybe once a year since he died.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a couple of years after he left, I asked him if he would want to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he is a walk-in, because I want to give him some time to go through whatever they do. I suppose the time doesn't matter, but he said that when I check back about once a year, he said he's been looking for someone, but he can't find someone yet that's in agreement to swap places.
Interesting.
So then when I heard Bashar say that, I was going, geez, is my medium full of it, or is Bashar just not have all the information? You know what I mean? So that's why I was curious what your take was.
I can only speak at a pure theoretical possibility. I will not make a declarative statement about something I just don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting topic. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind around Bashar I'm relating this to the law of one material that I've deeply studied. And, you know, this is apparently Ra is a being who's from mid-sixth density, is, you know, by, if you calculate it, billions of years ahead of us, our own evolution, just way.
Yeah,
way.
And Bashar isn't, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that. Okay.
Okay.
But you know, there are some questions that the channeler asks Ra, and Ra says, I have no idea.
Okay. I see.
I haven't got there yet. I don't have access. And even this vastly advanced you know, being channeled from the super high level admits, hey, I don't know, you know. So
okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, it's good to know. You, like you say, you don't have to know everything about everything.
Yeah, and you know, even the being that Bashar is channeling may not have absolute knowledge about everything, you know.
Well, he's channeling himself in the future. Hmm. He's actually like channeling, like 800 years from now, we may be the ETs that come back and visit a new planet.
Uh-huh.
And so he's channeling himself, who has evolved up to, I can't remember what dimension it is, fifth or sixth, maybe. Probably not at the level of Ra. That's the only reason I was saying that. But yeah, well, it's all very interesting. And I probably turn these things around in my head too much.
Okay. And I think Ra even says that your higher self is your future self, well advanced beyond your current level, turning back to help its prior self.
Yeah, that's what Bashar says. So great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's all fascinating stuff, isn't it?
It is.
Thanks, Faye. I love your curious mind. I noticed that Greg popped in and he says, why is it necessary to say the invocations frequently? Well, again, just to be clear, when you're doing a particular round, you only have to say it once. Like if you're calling embodied awakening or healing, I don't believe it's necessary to say that invocation more than a single time on that whole round. As far as it frequently means doing it like every day or over time, you know, like any good practice, the more you do it, the more benefit you're going to get. You would say the embodied awakening invocation daily, every morning, if you wanted to make sure you're totally topped off with divine energy and say it as needed throughout the day to keep it going. You would say a healing invocation anytime you needed healing. So those are the ways I'm thinking to answer your question, Greg. But if I missed your point, or if you want to re-ask your question with more precision, if I didn't nail it, then please feel free to do that, Greg. All right. Who's got another question? So again, raising your hand is good, but unmuting is even better. So
okay. I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I feel that I am not in the body all the time.
Uh-huh.
Even if I am doing meditation with the grounding,
mm-hmm.
kind of I'm all over the place, or I'm sure. Not in the body.
Sure.
Do you have an advice or what to do?
Well, invoking maximum embodied awakening will bring you into your body,
mm-hmm.
I would think. When you've done that specific invocation, have you felt that you got any more embodied than usual?
Not really.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't wait enough time to settle down.
Yeah, when you if it works for you, then saying maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please then just become completely passive. What usually happens is then the higher self comes in through the crown and into your physical body and saturates you as much as you're ready. And then you should then have an experience of strong divine energy right there in 3D in your body.
Okay.
That's the idea there. Now, I've worked with a lot of people who had trouble being in their bodies. Most of the time, that's because of trauma. And, you know, there are, you know, many people, if they're traumatized, especially at a young age, they leave, or a big part of them leaves. A soul loss happens and a part of them leaves the body because it isn't safe to be there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore that part just learns is not safe there. And so big chunks of you can be out of body and can't return until they're healed. And that's when an approach like internal family systems therapy, which is, you know, that self-guided course in the membership can be helpful, or what a solo work with a therapist, you know, to find those parts that are out on a string and unburden them and bring them back, you know, bring in your wounded parts back can help you become more and more embodied.
I had a split soul
mm-hmm.
at the year of 14th.
Uh-huh.
And I did a split recovery of my soul 2 years ago, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was very interesting. I didn't know I was kind of all over, but when I did the connection
mm-hmm.
with two of them, it was kind of boo, I'm here.
Good.
And, yes. But still, maybe I'm in another, living in like parallel lives, or
Who
I don't know.
knows? Do you feel like you're functional here on Earth? Do you feel like you're present enough in your body that you can do what you need to do and have a good, satisfying human existence? Okay.
Yes, kind of.
Well, again, you might be such a, some people have a both and, they're present in their body and, they're doing fine in 3D, and they're also awake beyond it. And conscious as spirit beyond the body, or they're in other dimensions and they're running parallel lives, and you can do that too. So you don't have to be exclusively only in your body. If you can be, functioning in a good way here and beyond that too, then that's not a problem. The problem that I was referring to earlier is if you're so traumatized and split off,
No.
then you're not functioning well, that becomes a problem, and then you need to do, shadow work to bring the parts back. I hope
No,
that's a
I'm
clear
good.
description. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Someone has typed, and I want to catch up with whatever they put in the chat here. Just a minute. Let's hear. Laura said, embodied awakening does not help me to ground, but Tai Chi and Qigong moves, as well as any kind of movement practice, does. That's a good insight, Laura. And then Faye typed, yeah, invocations don't ground me either. I say, Gaia, ground me now. So Faye's using a custom invocation to call in what she needs. Yeah. So again, that's, if the standard embodied awakening invocation ain't doing it, then, do a custom like Faye does, Gaia ground me now and call for exactly what you want. If the invocations do it for you, you'll know through your own experience. I know the tools I offer work for a lot of people, but there's some people that's not their thing and they need to find other tools. It's perfectly fine. Vivian, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Good morning in Australia.
Oh yes, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, quite hot. I have a question about dream work in relationship to the invocation practice.
Okay.
A couple of days ago, I did some work with you about a man that I encountered at a shopping center.
Right.
And I think that's fine. I encountered him again, and I think he'll be on his way fine.
Oh, good.
But I had a dream at about 1:30 this morning, about somebody who came to one of my workshops when I first came to Australia, like 23 years ago, who then became like I mentored her in her professional work. And the last time I saw her was in the same shopping center. Now, I go there maybe once or twice a year, so
Wow.
this is very rare. And I was in the Apple computer shop, and she saw me, absolutely delighted to see me, and said she was going to America and she'd be in contact when she got back. Well, that hasn't happened. But in the dream, I was in an upper room with her, and we were reviewing her work. And it was quite a long session. It was in a upstairs in a community center that I've never been to. And the person who was the live-in person who lives there came home at about 11 o'clock at night, and I kind of apologized he was still there, but we were really like leaving at that point. But anyway, during the process, she was working with dough, like bread dough.
Yeah.
And we were talking for quite a while, and then I looked down and I realized that there were four layers of working with the dough. There was something to do, there was an image that was like a Raphael picture of an angel that she said was her higher self, and it was leaning over a lectern. And then there was something around her heart, something around her creative center, like a bit of a mixture of the belly and the sacral chakra, and then there was something to contain it all. Now, the big surprise to me in this dream is that while we were talking, I hadn't realized, but she'd actually baked it, and so the whole room became full of the scent of freshly baked bread, and she took it out of the oven, and I had a little piece of the of what came from the creative center, which is like a picture to me of the fact that I have this participatory engagement with people. Like the other day, we talked about the fact that I had blended to some extent with the heart of the man that I was bringing to the session. Mm-hmm. And in this case, with this person, I think the blending has gone on at the creative chakra level more. And I was given a piece of the bread, or somehow I ate it, and it was, you know, a bit of a celebration kind of feeling, and then we packed up and left. So I guess my question to you is, I'm still living with that, and I know generally how to work with dreams, but I would like to have, I guess, more clarity about my dream work so that it doesn't take so long to come to completion around the energetic states. Like, I'm just going to show you something for a moment. Did you see there are like dozens of bricks there that have got bright colors on them?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm making mosaics at the moment from broken fragments of Mexican, mostly Mexican import pottery on bricks that I've been given. So I've been given all of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm making something for an outdoor patio. But as I do, I'm finding that all the people that I've worked with over decades are like one by one coming up for me, and I'm holding them in mind, and then and then trying to give like a little blessing that sends them on their way. And so I know that I've got another phase of my work to come, as we've spoken about before, but I seem to be in this very long, slow completion stage of acknowledgement for all the people that I have worked with, as if I've been carrying a lot of people at a psychic level. So my question is kind of about how to complete what I don't need to carry more. And
so complete, in other words, clear energies that are in your field that really don't need to be there.
Clear energies that are in my field that I really no longer need to be there. And I think this morning's dream about, oh, the bread is baked, even though I didn't actually know that while I was working with in this dream session with somebody, that she actually baked the bread of her process with me thinking it was still in a kind of shaping process. Oh, actually, it's already baked. And I think it's like that also with the mosaics. Okay, oh, here you are again. And somehow like a letting go, that I don't have so many doors open.
Well, I think the simple answer is just to invoke exactly what you want. You know, you could just sit down and say, Spirit, please clear any energies in my field that do not serve my highest good to be here. Release them back to where they came from, or take them to the earth and release them. And you could just do a wholesale request for all of it to happen at once. You know, I've really become fond of
my... Here's my hesitation. I don't feel like it's only my highest good. It's like...
Well, highest good of all.
It's for the highest good of all. All right, that's better.
When I say highest good, it is shorthand for my highest good and the highest good of everyone affected.
Yeah. I think that's it, because it could be that some people, it's appropriate for them to still have access to me, so that when that becomes conscious, you know, something can be offered.
Sure.
But I think the metaphor of the bread, you're body being bred is interesting. I don't want to continue to feed people unconsciously. I'd rather actually they knocked on my door, you know, and phoned up or texted or so on. I find in my sleep that I'm busy with people all night long. And while that's okay at some level, I also need to have a functioning practice where people pay me or I set things up that I have bread on my table and I'm not like, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, everything you're saying, you're clear on your desire. Just invoke it, you know, say, Spirit, no access to me while I'm sleeping unless it truly serves highest good of all for that to happen.
You just yes.
say, I wish to be compensated financially for my healing work. And please have these people call me up for a session instead of, you know, doing it on the sly while I'm sleeping, whatever.
It's not that I always have to have a financial exchange, but I don't want to be giving out so much that, that there's no financial exchange because I don't have any other energy.
I get like, it.
Things have to come into balance, really. That,
of course. Yeah. Yeah, so just, I would just say invoke the reality you want. And also, I'm a big fan sometimes of making just a strong declaration. Say, I hereby declare that. And you tell the universe the way it is, the way you need it to be now. And that can be a very powerful reality shifter when you're just ready to shout it to the mountaintop, you know?
Yes.
So that's another way to do it.
I think it's about please bring past connections to completion and allow me the freedom to create anew. It's something like that, really.
Yeah. Think clearly and just make that phrasing just as clear and exactly what you want as you can. I like to make all the invocations as brief as gets the job done. So there's no, you know.
Yeah.
So I would just really sit down and really carefully craft out your desire and invoke it or declare it or both. Yeah.
And something about the dream work that things come through with increasing, also with a completion. I'd like it's like I don't want to be dwelling in my dream world for hours and part of the day where I haven't completely got the message. I really would rather have the message come through nice and crisply.
Yeah, invoke that. Yeah.
Otherwise, that still leaves me in that partial dream state, dwelling on the interior experience. It's not that I don't want to honor what comes through, but that I'd actually like more clarity about.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of if I'm wondering, I'll just ask myself, what does this mean? Tell me.
Yeah, you know? Please tell me what this means. What meaning am I to take from this? Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks, Vivian. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. And Faye jumped in and said, I hereby declare. I really like that. Going to use it. Thank you. And Greg also a moment ago said, you did answer my question, Benjamin. Thanks. That makes sense. I'm glad that I got toward the right answer there, Greg. All right. Who else has a question? Jump in right in. Don't be shy. We got time for everybody. All right. Someone please talk to me. I'm getting lonely.
All right. I have another question. If there's time, you sure no one else wants to jump in?
No, they had their chance.
Okay. Is there a correlation in shamanism with what people talk about Kundalini?
I've never heard Kundalini addressed in a shamanic container. They usually don't talk about chakras either. It's kind of a different worldview. It depends, you know, you can't generalize anything about shamanism. There's thousands of paths. You know, it seems like a lot of shamanic paths really don't concern themselves with awakening at all. They're just about, we want to know where the game is so we can go hunt it, or we want to call in, you know, insight for the tribe or good fortune for the tribe. A lot of shamanic paths are just kind of more basic and focused on just worldly, you know, everyday needs. So I've certainly worked with shamans who married, like I've worked with more than one ayahuasca shaman who invoked like Hindu gods and deities and and we're working with chakras in ayahuasca context, and that's definitely a shamanic container, but that's a hybrid form. That's not like pure shamanism at all. So I would say there's probably some folks out there merging Kundalini and shamanism, but I would say it's not a natural fit. It's a hybridized add-on that's kind of come because of the merging of cultures. Is that a helpful answer? Yeah.
Very helpful. Thank you. And I'm sitting here kind of stretching my, bending my brain, trying to think. I can see exactly now what you're saying about how it's not a natural blend.
Yeah. Because chakras is not typically a shamanic concept even. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. If you're kind of thinking you got a question, but you're waiting for someone else, go ahead and unmute now. I guess I'm going to have to start calling on people. So just going down the list alphabetically, Jeannie, you're here and you haven't talked. Do you have a question?
Hi, no, I'm very tired tonight. So I came to participate if something just grabs me and I really have to talk, but I really like the question about the shamanism and all the different types, and there's really no, you know, Kundalini equivalent. I thought that was fascinating.
So, you know, there's a whole lot more I don't know about shamanism than do.
Well, I always heard that shamanism was very broadly, you know, defined, and the definition I was given originally was any work in the energetic, you know, the auric field can be considered shamanic.
Well, broadly, yeah. The way I like to define it is a shaman is someone who intervenes with the higher or celestial forces on behalf of folks here on Earth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That goes with the priest correlation thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway,
the bridge between the invisible worlds and the physical world. Yeah.
Okay. The invisible world. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And there's lots of ways to conceive it, but that's the broad definition that kind of points in the right direction for me.
Yeah. The only other comment I may have is that, it's very common to not feel like you're in your body, and got to really honor yourself and pat yourself on the back for just knowing that, because there's so many people who are not in their body and they don't know.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, so I really, really appreciate your definition of, you know, hey, you know, you could have a reason that your parts ran off. So, you know, do some IFS or something like that, or trauma work, you know, of some sort. And so I really appreciate that. My helpful thing lately, and I'm kind of graduated from it, I've done it for so long, is this mine? Or is this somebody else's? And if you can discern that, you kind of have to be in your body to be able to answer that question, you know?
I hadn't thought of that.
So, yeah, I'm much more in my body now than I've ever been. And my favorite newest thing is if I'm in a contracted state, if life feels contracted or compressed or pressure, tension, anxiety, stress, then I'm not expanded. And so practicing the invocation or anything else that kind of does that, you know, same kind of thing, is really good to stay expanded. And then I've noticed that people who like to do manifestation, if I do that in an expanded state, it really works. It's magic. And so anyway, those are my comments so far. So thanks. Wow. Thanks for asking about me. Thank you.
Yeah. Lots of great insights there. Thank you, Jeannie. All right. So Vivian, did you want to say something else?
I was just going to say, I agree with Jeannie about being in your body, but I was going to also add about something about this shamanism and chakra system. It may be just cultural languages, because when you do intervene shamanically with someone, You are, of course, working in the different energy centers, and the out of the Hindu tradition, there's a language around that. Mm-hmm. But in fact, in the energetic field, I suspect it's exactly the same thing. You know, or I know, when something is happening at the heart chakra or at the base chakra or under the earth itself. So I think it might be about the way we construct our worldviews and our way of understanding what we're doing, really.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, I remember one shaman I trained under who said that, you know, he worked with a chakra system where there were only, the conception was there were only 5 or 6 chakras. So, you know, so many ways to conceive reality. It's amazing. Thank you, Vivian. All right, let's leave a moment for anyone else to ask a question who hasn't spoken yet. If no one pipes up, I'll start calling on folks who haven't talked yet.
I just wanted to thank Jeannie for that conceptual peg. Mm-hmm. I think about expansion as a energetic thing. Yeah. And as I was listening to Jeannie, thank you, because I never thought about my body kind of more closer into my body expanding and contracting. And then I realized, yes, when I'm under stress, I feel like there's, you know, a weight on me or something. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Lots of good insights popping around. I love it. That's what we're here for. Jeannie.
I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for letting me know that I'm added, because I'm really tired and I thought, oh, I don't have anything to add. So thank you both. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. I see Laura's here. Laura, was there anything you wanted to ask?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks. Stephanie, you got a question?
Hi there.
Hi.
I was just tuning in tonight just to listen to people chat and stuff. I have a couple of comments. I know earlier when you said I declare, mm-hmm. I've also heard I command
mm-hmm.
too.
Same thing.
And then also I do kind of have a question, but it's so simplistic, I'm almost embarrassed to ask it. But it seems like I've been just, you know, being here in the time, being in the group in the time I've been,
mm-hmm.
it seems like something, and this has been my experience, you know, oftentimes when we're young, like children, we have something that happens to us, like some kind of trauma or some kind of, even an overwhelm, you know, something that we can't quite process. And because we can't fully process it, we spend the rest of our life repeating the circumstance in various forms. I've kind of seen this with myself.
Yeah.
It's like something happens and it kind of sends us off on the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. We kind of spend the rest of our lives kind of trying to heal that. At least that's where I'm at right now.
Uh-huh.
I have been for quite a while. That's just a general observation I've made.
Yeah. And in fact, that's a well-known phenomenon in relationship stuff. We tend to attract romantic partners who embody some of the same things that traumatize us from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
You marry your mother or you marry your father kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we're drawn to that because a part of us really wants to heal from that. And by assuring you get a similar catalyst from the romantic partner, the same wound keeps getting triggered up. And every time it's triggered up, of course, there's another chance to finally heal it if you've got the right tools.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's great to be on the hero's journey to heal something, but I also think it's good to get to the end of that journey and get the sucker healed and move on.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. But, man, it is so – it's interesting how hard it is.
It can be.
You know? I'm really – yeah, it's a constant struggle for me. And I see it, and it's like, you know, maybe my parents intended to put that trauma on me. I think they did. But it's like I didn't have to accept it. Mm-hmm. You know, and even now, you know, my father's been gone for years and I wasn't close to my father at all. We had a very distant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised by women. So I just stayed single. I knew the marriage mommy thing wasn't going to work for me. And it I mean, they probably, it's like one of those things, somebody hurt you a long time ago and you're still angry with them and they don't even remember it, So it's really crazy how it's a work in progress, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, and I'm when I find things like that myself, I just always think, okay, what's the quickest and most efficient way I can get this thing put to bed once and for all? I don't have patience personally for a trauma to hang around a long time. I'm going to go find some way to get that sucker healed if I possibly can, because
Yeah,
it's my own decision. Yeah.
with me, yeah, I mean, maybe I should try that or something, or try and find an easier solution. But it was like, it's like if I heal, if I my big fear is if I heal what it is that needs to be healed, it's right now it's like the lesser of the evil. It really is.
What's the lesser evil about it?
Well, when I was a kid, I'll tell you what happened. I had a real knack for finding money. I had this little plastic coin purse, and I carry. I found a $5 bill in a Winchell's donut parking lot in San Clemente, California. I think I accumulated $7, and because I just kept finding money. It was just something I did. And we went camping, and we stopped to take pictures by this rest stop that overlooked mountains and stuff. And my parents said, "Well, leave your money in the car." And so we went out and took the pictures. When I got back, it was gone. And
Ooh.
they said, "Oh, you lost it."
Okay.
And it was like their way of saying, "No, you're not gonna, money's not gonna come to you easily. If that's the way it's gonna be, you're not gonna have love. We won't love you." So that's how I processed it. I was probably 6 or 7 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And I still, and that process has repeated itself, not necessarily with money being stolen, but yeah, I've been ripped off at work, being paid, and a lot of bullying in my life. And this is what I worked through the IFS with it. And I don't know, it's just like you won't be, you will be an outcast if you heal this. And so that's what I'm trying to struggle to heal.
Yeah, that's what I'm not understanding intellectually. Why would you be an outcast if you heal that trauma?
Because I had to choose between, when it happened, I had to choose between my natural ability or, taking care of myself and finding money, or my parents accepting me. I
I
would
see.
be rejected from the family.
Okay.
And
So then you've got a 7-year-old part or whatever age you were who says, well, if I'm abundant, then I lose love and I lose the security I need to survive is kind of the bottom. Yeah. So that part believes that, but that part, in my opinion, with IFS, for example, could be unburdened of that belief and that trauma and come back and be reintegrated. And then that amazing ability to attract abundance could be reclaimed. So to me, the upside of the healing is that, you could have increased abundance, maybe not just financially, but all kinds of ways. I don't see a downside to the healing.
Well, there isn't. But the thing is, my parents did a lot of things right, but they weren't the nicest people and they weren't the happiest people on the planet. In fact, my dad is one of the most miserable people I've ever had to deal with. He was just, anyways. But it's my mother that just, "Don't you dare be happier than me." And see, they worked it on my sister too, and it pretty much just destroyed her. So,
So they said it was not okay to be happy, basically. Well, that's another wounded part that potentially could be unburdened and reintegrated, and you could then have access to happiness again and feel like it was okay.
All
So
right.
I would hold the possibility of healing for all that. I don't think any of it's in stone.
Okay. Well, no, it's not. It's not. It's just my own fear that's holding me back.
And again, there's a fearful part. Not at all. Any obstacle, that's another wounded part you could potentially get in, then unburden and reintegrate. So
okay,
that's at least
all right.
That's my worldview on it. For what
okay,
it's
well, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it.
yeah.
There's layers like an onion. Yes.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell you, in terms of layers, I mean, it's come to me in the last couple of years as I keep doing ayahuasca ceremonies, which is like super intense shadow work, and I'll come in there, and I'm pretty awake, I'm feeling pretty good, and ayahuasca just puts me through the ringer for hours, just dumping all this heavy shit I didn't even know I had. And what I've learned is that we are awake at a certain level, and we're oblivious to all these other layers of heavy stuff that are blocking the next layers of awakening. We just have no idea it's
yeah.
even there. But when you get into a context like, an ayahuasca ceremony or even invocation work, where it's time to heal that next layer, then you get into the healing process, and then you this too. And then you just do your process and heal it, and then you pop to the next awakening.
Right.
And my own theory right now is that for most humans, there's more layers of stuff to clear than we'll ever get to in this lifetime.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And so my own worldview now is there will be no end to the healing. And that excites me, because if you buy into the great onion of consciousness idea, that means that there's always more awakenings waiting to unfold when that next layer gets healed. And of course, some
yeah.
of it's, even if we get our own healing done, we can heal for our lineage. We can heal for other beings, and we can do service work by processing heavy energy for others. And we still get the layering effect. And we still get, even if it's someone else's stuff, we still get the great onion awakening process going. So
a good invocation would be like maximum healing for next in line.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I give in my book. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Even if you have no idea, you're feeling fine. I don't know what's next. A maximum healing, next, the service high is good, next in line, and just relax. And I've done that with clients who showed up for a shamanic healing. I got nothing particular to work on. Let's do a next in line. And boy, we could spend 2 hours clearing stuff. It was just next.
Yeah.
In line.
So, okay.
Yeah.
That was useful.
Yeah, I hope so. And I really hope you can, get some of that stuff cleared so you can have a more wonderful existence, Stephanie. That would be delightful.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for chiming in. Jeannie, did you want to throw something in?
Well, I got, I'm fascinated by IFS, and I saw an article as a link from something else I was reading, and I got to it, and they were covering, it was a very short article, and they said, oh yeah, an IFS, with relationships or anything, you could check these three parts, your exiles, which of course I knew, but then they mentioned managers and firefighters.
Yeah.
And I hadn't, I wasn't schooled on that. So, in reading the article, I ended up doing an IFS on manager, and it led to another one, and it led to clearing something that I have been asking people forever. How do I fix this? How do I take care of this? And I never have been able to have any satisfaction.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. So
nice.
Yeah, tell me more.
Well, yeah. The IFS worldview, of course, you have one self and many parts. The basic division of parts is into exiles, the wounded part, and then the protectors that protect the wounded part of the system. But then protectors themselves divide into two classes. There's managers and there's firefighters.
Oh. Yeah.
So both managers and firefighters are protectors. Managers are more like the solid, reliable, mature, always there, steady Eddie protectors. But firefighters, they protect by going out of control and causing extreme or even violent or self-destructive behavior. The most extreme example of a firefighter is someone who says you need to murder someone or you need to kill yourself. That kind of extreme.
Right, right.
This is the way to, be safe, which is crazy, but that's what they believe, So firefighters are the ones who take extreme action that causes big emergencies, and the managers are more the solid, stable, we got this covered kind of steady Eddie, like I said, kind of protectors.
Well, anyway, it was fascinating. And that wasn't part of your course, but I thought, wow, I'm going to ask Benjamin about this manager thing. This is just really helpful. Very, very helpful.
Yeah. And again, in setting up the course, I was very aware that I was giving this to people who'd had no exposure to IFS. I said, how stripped down, how simple can we make this and still have it work?
Well, yeah, that's why I was shocked that something else added to it. It's like I don't need anything else. I have training in other, you know, very similar modalities and all that. And so it was like, I was just shocked. Anyway, I do hope someday you consider having a workshop where, you know, we could come and, you know, practice. I don't know if that's possible because it can take a long time.
In person in the real world?
Or? Yeah, like we have a Zoom meeting and we have like breakout rooms and we can practice with each other. It's not the same as in person because then you could keep track of all of us. Whereas, you know, on a Zoom call, you have to go into each breakout room and check on us.
Right. So hang on. Before we continue, Greg has popped a question. He says, I have to leave the circle now. Thank you, Benjamin, everyone else. Is there anything special I need to do to leave the space safely? Anytime you leave one of our calls early, just say, allies, please ease me out of the field. Ease me out of the field. And they'll just ease you out. And it's no big deal. You can do that anytime. And I don't think it would be unsafe to leave the space just if you just popped out or got disconnected. But that's the, and again, it's not as big a deal, Greg, in an event like this where, you know, we're just conversing. We're not doing a major energetic process or anything, but I really appreciate your consideration in asking that, Greg. I hope my answer was clear on how to leave a call early if you need to. Yeah, sorry, Jeannie. I knew he was needing to leave, so I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. That was a good question too.
My response is, while I feel comfortable working with IFS at the level I have, I don't think I would not be comfortable teaching others to like do it on behalf of other people.
But for themselves, it's okay.
Yeah, I kind of the furthest I'm willing to go is teach you to do it for yourself. I don't feel qualified or competent to teach people to do IFS for others. That would be a little bridge too far.
Well, the training I had where we did do that was, first of all, in person. It's kind of different. Because you can be monitored. And second of all, we had a lot of training before that on how to be in rapport and then what to do if you need a bailout, like the person goes into a trauma state.
Exactly.
You know? And we had training on that. So, yeah, I don't know. I just like working with others and.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought that I just wondered about it. Thank you.
Yeah. I can, you know. Yeah, there's I have always hatching ideas for future ways to develop the membership. So I appreciate, you know, I could see us doing invocation work with each other. That I would feel comfortable with.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to be training people in IFS when I've just had, you know, what amounts to basic level training myself. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. All right.
If Good someone night. Does want to learn IFS online, though, there's a guy in Asheville named Ted Riskin. TEDRISKIN. And he's the guy I learned from. He did a 4-month weekly Zoom course. And we did, he says the training was very similar to what we'd have got if we had done the official training through the official IFS, you know, and people.
Right.
And I thought it was very, very solid training. So there are ways to definitely, you know, train deeply in IFS, either the official ways or people like Ted who do things that are pretty much the same info, but without the certification. So, you know, there's things you're going to explore for sure.
Okay. Well, that helped. That's very helpful. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Who else has got a question? So we have gone just a bit over an hour, and I am happy to go longer if there are questions. So let's see if there's any more.
Well, I have something to share, if I may.
Sure, Faye, go ahead.
After reading your book, you know, the expression like, duh, like if something would happen that would be like a mildly challenging situation would come up, and I'd look at my watch and I'd say, oh, we got Benjamin's group in an hour. I can't wait to get in the group energy. And after reading your book, I was going, Faye, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just do the invocation every time at the time you need it? And I've been doing that. And by gosh, the embodied state now, the light being contacted with my light body, it's staying longer and longer and longer. So I really want to thank you for that. I don't know how I, with all the groups I've been to of yours, I don't know how I missed that, but I'm glad you put it in the book. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're doing that effectively. Yeah. Thanks. I want everyone, you know, everyone who comes to communication, I want them to be as personally empowered, to be able to do as much as they can on their own without needing anyone or anything else, you know, to the greatest extent, you know. At the same time, I have experienced there's times you need help from other folks, you know, and that's true for me too. But, you know, develop what you can on your own and, you know, power that up the best you can. Laura,
I was just going to say, it's always good to have an insight from someone else, because one person, at least I feel I can't see everything that I need to see. To get your perspective, that was fantastic. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. We all need, we're all blind to certain things about ourselves, and that's why you got to have other people to have a look and help you out, for sure.
Blind spots. Thank you. Night. Yeah,
for sure. Virika.
Yes. How do you feel your light body?
How do you feel it?
Yes. Or if you know you have it or whatever. It's Merkaba or it's something different.
Are you asking about my light body?
No, mine. So light body, it's Merkaba or something else.
Are you asking me to look at your light body and tell you what I see?
If you can.
What I perceive, you know, I have worked on building Merkabas in the past, and I am sensing some of that energy in there. It's kind of subtly blended in with the whole auric field. So I'm definitely getting some Merkaba vibe, as well as a nice big old beautiful aura around you. So it feels, you know, I'm feeling a really positive, pretty well developed light field around you.
Oh, thank you.
So my sense, you're pretty well along on your awakening journey, and you've got some good strong consciousness there.
Thank you.
Is that what you perceive yourself?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well done.
Yeah.
You bless us with your presence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Viorica, are you asking how you can perceive your own light body?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. Thanks, Laura.
yeah, that's what she was asking. Now, the Merkaba, I never thought of it. I think of the Merkaba as, you know, a grid that you can enter into. And I didn't know you could actually have some of that energy within your light body. That's kind of interesting. But as far as the light body thing, I just remember we did a healing event like last week. And apparently my guide said, unmute and get on the call. I'm like, fine. So apparently as we were working, Ben was like, oh, you're doing something with your light body. And like, can you sense it? No. Like, no. But yeah, I think it is possible. Benjamin's got some invocations. Like it's certain, like embodied awakening will get you started, but then you can also ask for like maximum light body energy awareness, stuff like that, where they can help you start to build that up.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah. The principle Laura said is very good. Just ask for exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel my light body, maximum light body awareness. You know, just keep it simple. Ask for exactly what you want, and then relax and see what the allies can do for you. Yeah, more than once I've been working with a client and I was reporting, I see this and this happening and I'm feeling this and this. I'm oblivious to that. I don't have any awareness of what you're describing in me. And I say, well, invoke maximum awareness of your energetic process. And they do. And we wait a minute and then we start again. And usually they can feel a little bit more because they've asked to feel more. So I've seen that work many times. Laura?
I guess the question I have, a few days ago, I met with my friend who does Reiki, and when she started working on me, she's like, "I couldn't find you." Like, wait, what? And she's like, and then my guide said, "Zoom out your perception." She's like, "You were way out there, so I had to like have the guides help me pull you back in." I'm like,
Whoa.
"Uh-oh." Yeah, so I guess I go overboard with all this energetic work. So are you what would you do in that kind of a situation?
I'm curious, before she pulled you in, were you experiencing any kind of difficulty or challenge because of being so expanded?
Honestly, ever since like last Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm still dealing with it now. It's like this, it's like the electrical circuitry within my body is kind of, it's sparking, and it's weird. And sometimes I feel it in my mouth, and and I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out what to do with it. So that was going on, but I don't know. It was also a really big week because my well, there was just a lot going on. But yeah, no, we've never had that problem before. It's like, oh, hello. I've been out of my body, but and I remember my craniosacral therapist would have to like pull me in, but it's never been like so big. But she also said that I wasn't breathing. I was like, uh-oh. I think I've gotten to a point. I know when I meditate sometimes, I don't breathe very deeply. It's like I can get into like that, you know, I guess when we sleep, we don't breathe very deeply or very hard, you know, we kind of slow everything down. And I think that's what I do when I get into a meditative state now. But yeah, no, I just like so I'm just thinking, well, maybe I just shouldn't play with these invocations anymore because I don't want to make things worse for my 3D body. Oh.
Well, that's one way you could approach it. Or you could just invoke, the ideal thing you need to have happen while you're doing these processes. You could say, please, I invoke maximum, physical occupation in my body that serves highest good while I'm doing this. You could invoke maximum, depth of breathing that serves highest good while I do this. So I, once again, just ask.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about that. It was just more like the fact that it was like so big. It was like okay, I could kind of feel that I wasn't very tethered, but it kind of bothered me because it's like, you know, I was doing the embodied. Now, granted, I like layer, so it's like all right, maximum embodied awakening, maximum divine embodiment, merge higher selves, maximum merging with my true essence, and then I'll just go on, or throughout the day, I'll just kind of be building. So I'm like, well, maybe I don't know.
Well,
I,
it sounds like you got what you asked for.
yeah, but apparently it's not good
Well,
for my body. So I don't know.
what I'm asking is, was your body suffering because of that? Were you having an actual challenge because of being so expanded?
Well, this thing with the this energy business in my body, it's exhausting. Like my body feels tired a lot. It's
Okay.
like, ugh.
All right, so that indicates some overextension possibly. I would just be, and have you been putting always the karma-free safety clause to the greatest extent that serves highest good when you've been calling for these things?
Yes. And if I don't, and my higher self feels that I should, I'll get a little whisper in my ear. To
Okay.
extend the service highest good. I'm like, okay, I'll say it. Because sometimes I cheat. But yeah, no. So most of the time, yeah. Well, and okay, granted, and I've been doing invocations with other people. So like Halloween invocations. And yeah, I've been playing with Halloween invocations a bit and teaching other people Halloween invocations and stuff. So granted, I'll say this. I've probably been more active with the energy lately than normal. I don't know.
Well, I'm excited that you're enthusiastic and really diving into it. That sounds really positive. But again, monitor, anything could be overdone, I guess.
I
So
guess
if you discover
I just
you're doing
yeah.
something that feels like it's too much for any reason, just scale it back or ask the allies only allow this to happen to the extent that serves highest good of me and everyone else, and they should be able to moderate the effect of what you're doing.
Okay.
But it's not too much. That's my theory anyway. But again, you have to go with your own experience. And if you're experiencing deleterious effects, then you need to figure out what am I doing that's not good, and you stop or scale back for sure.
Well, yeah, and with not very good body awareness, I have no idea that that's going on. I was just wondering if you've had that with other people or in your own experience where you're working with this stuff and you get really big.
I have not had many people dive in with your level of enthusiasm.
Well, yeah, that's me. I kind of overdo it with everything
It's
I do,
fine, but
so
that's also how you learn,
that's
But
true.
overall, I have a good feeling about all the things you're doing. The fact that you're really diving in, helping people, doing your good work. Just be sure you're always throwing the karma-free safety clauses in with the invocations so that you're not getting more than you can handle. Just always that phrase, to the
Yeah.
greatest extent that serves highest good, this or something better should always keep you in the safety zone, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Actually, okay, so I'm glad I actually said this because for the past couple days it's been like, throw this away, don't do this anymore. Like this I'm realizing I have this part who likes to put, I don't know, just what, okay, so she talks very negatively and it's always like, but okay, I can't explain what she says. But what I did figure out earlier today was, oh, you're just protecting me. And it's like, okay, you're, because usually I'm just like, let's just put her away because she's bothering me, she's getting in the way. But then it's like, wait, no, you actually need her because she tells you when you're safe and when you're not. And it occurred to me now that we've been talking that maybe what she's picking up was this isn't good for us because I've been worried about my health for the last couple of days too. And it's like maybe that's why she came out and started being very vocal because
Maybe.
it's like, all right, we gotta change this somehow so that it's safe for everybody. So I guess that's the one good thing I'm learning, like, okay, they're not necessarily causing me problems just to be obnoxious brats, but just they are trying to keep me safe, and sometimes it's valid.
I mean, some
Well,
parts, think they're keeping you safe and they're not, but some parts are really helping and they've got a really good point you should attend to. Yeah. So
okay.
I think, yeah, I think, I'd be excited to keep you moving forward in the ways that you feel inspired while also noticing, anyone's path. If you're really seriously into a developmental path, occasionally you're going to overstep, do a little too much, and you'll notice and you'll be able to adjust and pull back. And that's just kind of the nature of learning. Sometimes you do a little, not quite enough, a little too much, and you just kind of figure it out and move forward. But I wouldn't let it stop you entirely in your tracks, personally. Again, you always have free will choice to do what you want, but I guess I just am excited at all the growth you've had and all the healing you've done, and would be excited to, it seems like you're on such a roll, and I just am excited to see you keep blossoming and developing and serving like you are. But maybe that's just my own attachment. I don't
Yeah,
know.
it's like, maybe this isn't safe and we need to back off and try something different that we know is safe. And it's like, well, okay, that's valid. So
I mean, safety is important. Don't do anything that you consider is unsafe. And if I'm wrong, and if my belief about the way I teach this stuff, my belief that it is safe in the way I present it, but if you're doing it and it's not being safe, then I need to know that. And if there's a flaw in my system, I need to discover it and correct it.
So I'll let you know once I've sat with this and sorted this out if this really is something real or if it's just a little blip that we're just freaked out for a little bit, which is
Okay.
happens. So
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. That's some beautiful feedback and good sharing, Laura. Thank you so much for popping in. All right. We are, I don't want to go much past 90 minutes and we're a few minutes until that. Anyone got a last question they want to throw in tonight? Last call. All righty, then we will call it good. That was a juicy 80 minutes. Thanks each and every one of you for being here and giving us such wonderful questions and insights. It was a very flowing and beautiful exchange, I thought. So as always, I'm so grateful to have all these marvelous people show up in Awakening Plus to our event, and give big gratitude to all of you folks on the recording who've been catching it after the fact. So good night, everyone. So grateful. And again, I will get all, it may be Sunday, most likely, before I get the next month's stuff out, but we don't have an event till Monday. And we know for sure Monday will be, as always, first Monday is always newer support team as a free public event. So you can put that one in the bank for sure, 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So big blessings, everybody. See you soon. Bye.